At least I am alive. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. At least I am alive. We've been dealing with people who are in very tragic situations, oftentimes. And these people are close to death, and some of them are close to life. Interestingly, they're close to life. Now, what are these people, close to death, we can understand that very readily, but close to life, what does that mean? What does it mean that we're close to life? Does that mean that we are experiencing something that is very exciting or something very wonderful? Or does it mean that perhaps we are waking up after a long sleep, and we are waking up to find that we are quite wonderful beings? We are quite wonderful beings who live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. And though life may have dealt us a few cruel blows, as we think they have at least, when we begin to look at ourselves again, we begin to wake up to the idea that all is not that bad. All is not that bad. All is not that difficult. That truly we are living in a rather remarkable world. I was talking to a prisoner the other day, and he was having a difficult time. And his most difficult time was that he was separated from his family, he was separated from his world, and he was completely away from everything that he had always known. And after a few years of doing this, he felt greatly abandoned, he felt greatly useless, and he just felt more and more like life was not worth living. And he was a young man. And truly, for him, life was not worth living because there were no values in it that he had for himself. And then he found himself in a beautiful situation where somebody touched his life. Now, you say a lot of people who are in prison, they're touched by Jesus or they're touched by God. And they change their way of doing things, and they're doing that merely to get out, merely to get out of prison. Well, if that's what we think, then we are very sad people indeed. For if that's what we think, what we are doing is we are creating a world around us that is filled with unhappy beings, that is filled with beings who are living their life merely to accomplish a given end, and to accomplish something that they feel is valuable to them, and regardless of how it affects others. Well, this young man that I was talking to, he made the statement, "At least I am alive." And I thought to myself, what a powerful statement, "At least I am alive." Before, he had nothing to live for, and he wished he were dead. Before, he felt that all of life's values had gone right out the window, and that it wasn't worth living at all. What is the value of living if you have a sick body, or if you have a sick mind, or if you have sick relationships in your world? What's the value of living if all the people in your world have abandoned you? What's the value of living if all of the world feels that you're a useless, good-for-nothing person? Well, there's not much value in that, is there? There's not much desire in that, and that's true. However, that's the time when you begin to look at life from a new point of view. And you begin to look at your life and say, what do I think of myself? What do I believe about myself? What are my values? And I find that my values are exactly what I'm experiencing. My values are being abandoned by the world. My values are being not understood. My values are being not loved. Hey, those are all things I can do. And so when a person says, at least I'm alive, that means they can do something about it. They can do something about it. We come back to our little palm tree in the middle of the highway. And the palm tree sticks its nose up through a crack in the pavement and begins to grow. And traffic is going about on all sides of this little palm tree. Not much water gets down in that crack, but the palm tree grows, and the crack widens as the palm tree grows, because the palm tree spreads the crack apart. And the palm tree makes way for itself and shows forth its beauty, shows forth its grace. It's not an ugly palm tree. It's not a palm tree that has a lot of problems to it, that has a lot of diseases to it. It's not a palm tree that is misformed or in any way not desirable by the world. It's a beautiful palm tree. And it grows and grows. And then a car comes along and crunch and smushes it down and burns it right off at the level of the concrete. And what does it do? It just grows again. And it grows right up and grows right up and grows right up. And it grows up into, again, a beautiful palm tree. And you say, what ability to stand by and do whatever is your purpose in life. And the palm tree grows and grows and grows. And then another car comes along and smashes it and breaks it. And the palm tree is standing up there, sort of broken. And people think, well, surely we must cut that down. It's bothering traffic. But no one's there to cut it down, and the palm tree gathers its skirts about it and decides, hey, I'm going to live. And it begins to grow and grow and grow. And where its leaves or branches, where its fronds had been knocked away, they grow again. Now, I personally saw that palm tree doing that in Corona del Mar in the years that I was living in that city. And it was right at one of the busy intersections of Corona del Mar. And it grew and grew and grew, and it was run over, and it grew again. I haven't been back there recently to take a look and see whether it's there or not. Perhaps in the properness of the street etiquette, they may have cut it out or taken it out or tried to take it away. But I'm sure there's a little seed down underneath that concrete that's going to look for a way to come up and grow, because its purpose is to be alive. At least it's alive. And it will grow to be whatever it is. And it is not a misshapen palm tree. It is not a diseased palm tree. It is not an unhappy palm tree. It's a palm tree. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to live. I'm going to live and be happy and be fantastic. And this is what I said to our friend who was in prison. Be like the palm tree. And realize that it's not what others do for you, but it's what you do for yourself, what you do in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own soul. Do you like yourself? I give the term, I like me, I am divine order, I am peace. And I've given it out in seminars, and I've given it out in letters, and I've given it out in discussions and talks. And people come to me and say, surely that's not enough. So give me something new, give me something more important than that. And I say, my friend, truly there is nothing more important than that. When you can like yourself and know that your world, your life, your affairs are in divine order, and that you are living in peace, wow, nothing disturbs you. You're that little pine tree, a palm tree, you're a little palm tree coming up through the pavement, saying, I know I can, I know I can, and I don't only think I can, I know I can, and burst forth. And you saying, I like me, I am divine order, I am peace, are using the most powerful tools in the universe for you. And if you and I use those three phrases and nothing else, and believe them and live them and have them be our breathing, eating, feeling attitude all of our life, wow, nothing can stop us from accomplishing our goals and our directions in life. And it is pretty wonderful. Pretty wonderful. At least I am alive. And what more wonderful thing could we say? And what more wonderful gift could we give to ourselves than to be alive and be like the palm tree, be undaunted by anything that comes our way to say, you can't do it. And just stand up and do it. It's kind of wonderful, isn't it? Have a wonderful day. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.